Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, the man chuckling next to me is our guest. But first, this is the voice of Marek Larwood.
Hello, I'm Marek Larwood. Our guest is...
Mr. Thomas Tuck.
Hello.
Hello, Thomas. Friend of the show, Thomas Tuck.
First time I've done it in your house.
Excuse me?
Sorry. I've done it in your house.
Oh, right. Oh, have we not had you on since we moved from Absolute Radio?
No.
Oh, well, welcome.
I was intrigued to see the setup, but it's exactly what I thought it would be.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's not as glamorous, aren't
we? If you can imagine the most professional studio,
yeah,
and take up all of the equipment
and put in a dog on a sofa,
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
I hear that's what Abbey Road used to be like.
I hear, and has declined to be much like that these days.
I wonder if a dog has the same effect, you know, when they have padded walls in studios, where the dog changes the sound.
The acoustics.
Yeah.
Well, I'm currently speaking from behind the dog.
Are you deadening him?
Probably. I probably sound a bit odd, but hey, he seems happy. Yes, Buddy the dog, for new time listeners. The Film Fandango dog, my dog. Yes. Well, films, gentlemen. We have... well, actually, let's start with the big news. The Oscar nominations came out.
And we received them directly before they were issued.
In a dream.
In a dream.
And I didn't put a bet on.
No, such an idiot.
So this will be before we talk about Best Picture, and next week maybe we can touch upon the Best Actor and Actress, maybe.
Yes, I mean, Marek's been to see one of the Best Picture nominations this week, which we will talk about.
So could I go through the nomination?
Please do.
I feel like I should be opening an envelope. If you can put an envelope, that's the sound of a golden envelope.
Do you want an envelope?
Well, I just want the sound of a golden envelope.
Oh, I don't have any golden envelopes.
But I want it to sound like it's golden.
Okay.
And that would go in here. That's just that's a can of sugar, but that will be replaced with a golden envelope.
So. Okay.
They are 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh.
Are you doing it like I opened...
opening nine envelopes.
I haven't seen any of those films.
Nebraska I've seen.
I've seen, well, I'll talk about next week. I'm going to talk about 12 Years a Slave, which I've seen, and also American Hustle, Captain Phillips, and Gravity. And I'm going to go and see The Wolf of Wall Street, which has just been released. I think a few of them haven't been released over here.
Yeah.
Like Her hasn't been released, or Dallas Buyers Club.
Now, Her is the one with Joaquin Phoenix where he falls in love with Windows, basically, played by Scarlett Johansson. Weird.
With
the Windows operating system. Scarlett Johansson is a new operating system that sort of changes itself to be to fit with your personality, and he falls in love with it.
I thought we meant Windows because there was a bloke on the Isle of Wight in my Tesco, you know.
Oh, I see.
Fall in love with window. Yes, window liquor thing. Can you say that?
Window liquor. It's quite difficult to say, but I've never heard of a window liquor.
That's an expression for somebody who's mental.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. It's derogatory expression for people.
Billy Connolly used to get away with saying that.
Did he?
Oh, I've seen them. It's not right in the head. I've seen them on the bus licking the windows.
That's what it is. That right. People get so excited they start licking the windows.
Oh.
And that's why buses for mentally ill people don't have windows anymore.
That's right, they don't.
Then they're technically called transport units.
Yes. Anyway, that has lost us probably 10% of our listeners.
Goodbye.
All Windows fans.
Goodbye, Windows fans. Yeah, so Her hasn't come out here yet, so we can't possibly comment. Good year for films all round, we reckon? Is that a decent list?
I know I bang on about this every week. Blue is the warmest colour. It's the best I've seen in a long time. It's not even on it's not even on the foreign films.
Mm.
So do you have to... before we started recording, you said you have to enter the film into the Oscars.
That's my understanding of it, yeah.
Yes, you have to say what who's declared for what. So, like, who's will receive the Oscar... If you get Best Picture, who would go up
and get it?
And which award you enter? Same as, like, Perrier. You have to declare your...
Intentions, yeah.
To be eligible.
It feels a bit... you know what film's going to get nominated... There's certain films have got a whiff of Oscar around them. Like last year, Lincoln got nominated, which I thought was an awful film. It seemed to me that it was just made to try and win an Oscar.
Lincoln got better, but it started so poorly. The opening of Lincoln is one of the most chocolate box things in all cinema. And Spielberg's made quite a few of those. It's terrible.
We've talked about 12 Years Later before, and we're going to do it next week, and Captain Phillips, and Gravity,
and Nebraska.
Filomena, I must go and see that. That was all went under the radar, didn't it? But I think had a good box of good word of mouth.
Yeah, from what I've read, it's a Steve Coogan sort of project of love, really, that he's really try hard to get it made.
It's really good that because he'll be up as producer, and you know would be
yeah.
They'll cut to Coogan at the Oscars when they say Best Picture thing because he'll.
He did a good year.
Yeah,
he has.
But Alpha Papa should be up there, shouldn't it? Anyway, American Hustle. Tom, you were saying you've spoken to a couple of people who've seen it and had mixed reviews.
Well, yeah, I just randomly spoke to two people about it yesterday, and one was saying it was the best film he's seen in 6 months. The other person said it was a complete pile of arse.
Which person do you like?
I don't know the second person that well.
I imagine you're in a conversation and someone is walking past.
What do you think of American Hustle?
No, I'd just done a gig and then we were chatting about films in general.
How was the second person dressed? Do you think, do you know what what was your first impression of this person?
Well, he had come up to say he liked my comedy, so I think he's obviously got fantastic taste. So it must be a pile of arse, and therefore Tom Golding is a moron.
And Tom Golding thought it was really great.
Yeah.
Okay. Comedian Tom Golding. Not a friend of the show.
Well,
not anymore, Golding.
We had an email from Kristen Larkin from Dublin. Well, hello, David American Body, he writes. That is Dublin accent, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'm doing my James Joyce
impression. So, are you in the Liffey?
Yeah. Well, hello. I think he just says hi, but I'm adding the well. It's only a short email, so I've got to try and get the most.
Turn the racism up to 11.
It's not
xenophobia.
It's not. Yeah, it's, okay, it's all about skin colour, isn't it? So it's xenophobia.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know.
Xenophobia is fine. Well, hello, David American Buddy. American Hustle was a most overrated pile of poo. Okay, the end was good, but a good ending does not a good movie make. That is all. Thanks, Kristen Dublin. This is a similar thing to how I felt about American Hustle. It is a good film. You know you're watching, you know it's cool.
Is it a heist film?
No. So the basic plot is Christian Bale plays a con man in the 70s who starts off sort of breaking windows to get his dad's double glazing firm more money and becomes a con man gradually. He then falls in love with this woman at the party and who's played by Amy Adams, and she becomes a con woman with him and they're very successful. But also, Christian Bale's only got a wife, isn't he? He doesn't really get on with her anymore, but she's played by Jennifer Lawrence, one of my favourites.
How old were they when they got married? Was she 12?
Yeah, this is quite... she's playing someone a bit older.
Right.
She's got a child from a previous relationship, which he's taken on as his son, so he doesn't want to leave her, even though he's in love with Amy Adams. Meanwhile, Bradley Cooper plays an FBI agent... who finds these con people and employs them to help him try and take down some US senators and some sort of big figures, a local mayor in New York. So he wants to sort of expose them as taking bribes, etc.
Right. So who does Jeremy Renner play? He plays Christian Bale's son.
No, he is the sort of the Italian-ish sort of mayor.
Okay.
Of a sort of Bronxy area.
Okay.
Mm. The acting is superb. They're all brilliant and they're all watchable. Is there really a plot? You know, you just see lots of good scenes.
And wigs.
I've got to say something. The hair and the costumes are good. They'll win the Oscar, I think. Phenomenal, the wigs and the costumes. It looks great. It looks. Amy Adams' clothes are amazing. Really stylized 70s clothes.
Do you have the list of who's up for costume?
It is up for costume.
Is Bad Granddad up for it? Or Bad Grandpa, whatever it's called, the Jackass film?
With Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, where he's a grand. Is that Oscar nominated?
Is it good?
I haven't seen it, but I'm just wondering if it's Oscar really, nominated really for the makeup. It's just a prank show, isn't it, basically?
With a plot.
Right, okay. Oh, a bit Sacha Baron Cohen-y.
Yeah.
It is not in the best costume design.
Did you see Sam Bain's tweet yesterday?
No, what did he say?
He said, the Oscars go to most conspicuous blank of the year. I.e., no costume designer is ever going to win an Oscar for picking out the perfect jeans for someone to wear.
Yeah.
Even if they've done an amazing job.
It has to grab you. Well, are there any proper period pieces on that list?
12 Years a Slave?
12 Years a Slave, of course.
Yeah, that was set in 1984. but it's a cool film. It looks cool, it looks great. But I agree with Christian Larkin. But in fact, the biggest con is to the viewer, because there isn't really a great story there. It's great acting, great performances, and you sort of think you're watching a really good film. But is it a good film? You know, all the elements are there,
apart
from the story that hooks you. And it feels that when you're reading a really long novel, when you start off, and the writing's really good, and you think, well, this is going to get good soon, isn't it? You'll get fed loads of detail, you're fed loads of scenes that you think, this must be setting something up, because you'll give me all this information. So I felt a little bit disappointed. I like the hair and costume. Amy Adams was majestic in it.
She is one that confuses me, because I was first sort of aware of her, as many were, I think, from Enchanted, which is amazing. She is sublime. She's incredible. Her and James Marsden just rule that film and just make everyone fall in love with them, and they're so funny and note perfect. And then for me, she sort of blends into the background in quite a few other films. And then, as you say, she's sort of brilliant.
She's great in The Fighter as well, I think she's in as well, isn't she?
She was in The Master, and she's in Talladega Nights, people forget.
She pretends to be an English person as part of the con, and it puts on an English voice, a bit sort of, not really like Princess Diana, but it's very believable. She's very fanciful in it. I fancy Amy Adams more in this film, and it sounds really more than Jennifer Lawrence, which is saying something.
Wow, you love Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm now in love with Amy Adams. Jennifer Lawrence is great as well. She plays this just demented wife who is one of those people who can never lose an argument and will always twist everything round. So they're
that's
right.
A fun character to play.
She's great at it. And Bradley Cooper, for me, isn't it on the same level as those three other actors?
Well, what do we think of Bradley Cooper? Because I haven't seen Silver Linings Playbook, which was the one that people celebrated him for, but I haven't really enjoyed him in anything.
Was it Place Beyond the Pines?
Yeah,
apparently
sort of
he's very good in that.
Oh, he's all right in that. Mm.
I actually watched on TV over Christmas the A-Team remake. Have you seen this film?
No, I haven't.
I actually quite enjoyed it, but not for the reasons the filmmakers wanted me to. Because they're doing this sort of high camp A-Team thing, but they've cast proper actors in it. As in Bradley Cooper and Liam Neeson can't really do comedy. Mm. They're doing, you know, tortured and real all the time, but they're doing sort of fluffy, breezy stuff. They both come across as complete psychopaths. Like, Liam Neeson's a guy who keeps just forcing everybody to make plans all the time. Yeah. But it's played as real. And
he... Someone when the tank comes out of their helicopter. Oh, it's amazing. And the tank fires into the sea to stop it from...
But because Murdoch is playing... as someone who's actually mentally ill, and the two of them seem mentally ill. The whole film just has this context of poor B.A. Baracus just hanging out with these guys.
Imagine Mr. T being the normal one in your gang.
Yeah. Well, watch it, because that is exactly what it felt like when I watched it. Rampage Jackson just going, what the hell are you doing? It's quite fun.
Yeah, so American Hustle, I enjoyed it. It's not one of the greatest films of the year, but it's known for quite a lot of Oscars. It's just a cool film. It's like that kid at school who's sort of growing up a bit 2 years fast and is really cool, but and maybe in a few years' time they'll go back and they'll go, well, that kid was a dick. There was enough, no substance to him. It is style over substance.
You're saying American Hustle is the kid that peaked at school?
The one
who's big in the sports teams, and then you go back 10 years later, and he's still working in the local garage.
It looks great, and for people who like clothing and like style, and like sort of cool walking, that sort of elements of casino cool to it, you know.
Mm.
And it's quirk. They obviously all the actors for them, it's great. It's almost like actors can show off. Here's three or four great parts. Just do what you want. And I'll put the camera on you.
Sounds does like a swagger that? Fest.
Maybe it is a little bit. And is there a plot to? Is there enough of a plot to it?
Who's the director?
It's Russ Abbott. He's taken
another bloody Russ Abbott film.
Yeah.
Up for an Oscar.
I mean, who'd have thought? It was his first thing. Did you see
the news that? Alex Ferguson went on a holiday with Russ Abbott over Christmas.
Of course, it's David O. Russell. Of course, it is
David O. Russell.
And he wrote it as well. Yeah.
David O. Russ Abbott. New hashtag, please.
And he wrote it with Eric Singer. But it's
sorry, Russ Abbott went on holiday with Alex Ferguson. Apparently, are they lovers?
I think their wives came as well.
The perfect crime.
And David O. Russell also directed Silver Linings Playbook as well.
Yes, of course. So he likes Bradley Cooper for some reason.
But Silver Linings Playbook and this are both slightly overrated films. We'll be going. Hey, listen. You make your own decision. We'll be working.
Did you
away
like
from...
I Heart Huckabees? That's the only one I've seen.
I did when I saw it, but I have one of those sinking feelings that if I rewatched it as an adult, I'd go, "Oh, this is too quirky." But maybe not. I did like it at the time.
Yeah, I think Dustin Hoffman and Lily Tomlin are absolutely amazing.
Yes,
in that movie.
That was it. Dustin Hoffman then did that part that he played in that film 10 more times in other films.
Do you know
which sort of does undermine it? I think.
Do you know the Doug Stanhope joke about Robert De Niro?
No,
because the guy that Raging Bull was based on, Jake LaMotta, lives in the same town as Stanhope, and so he says. Oh, for the younger viewers, Robert De Niro used to be an actor. And I think the same about Dustin
Hoffman. We've talked about
it.
We've said, you know, there'd be a generation who thinks Robert De Niro is, you know, plays comedy old men.
Well, I've got another thing. We'll talk about Dustin Hoffman. I watched Rain Man recently, and that is we're talking about films that have aged really, really badly.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman won an Oscar for his performance of, Raymond in that film.
Yes.
Now, it seems really naive.
Really?
To me. It was incredible, because I hadn't seen that film for 7 or 8 years, and it was really celebrated as someone playing an autistic person. And now it just seems really bad.
I rewatched Goldeneye the other day, which I used to love, think was brilliant Bond film, would defend it to people. Rewatched that. Oh my god, it's aged. Like, incredibly
so. Is it
so.
Just your. Is it because you know that Pierce Brosnan's aged so much?
I think just the very idea of James Bond has aged terribly.
Mm.
You know, and they've moved on from it, and it still seems a little outdated with the Daniel Craig stuff. But if you go back to what it was still quite Roger Moore-y in the Pierce Brosnan ones, and it's so crass and crap, the whole thing. Like,
I saw a little bit of Goldeneye recently. And
I used to love
Alan Cumming's performance is so stupid.
I didn't like at the time. I hated Alan Cumming's performance, isn't it?
It's so, God, it's me.
Yeah, he's
like someone playing. It's like a.
But it's got two comedy Russians in it with Robbie Coltrane playing a. Mr. Bond, I feel that you.
He sounds like the kid in my middle school who played Dracula in Dracula Spectacular. The worst. The worst accent of a Transylvanian accent until GoldenEye when Alan Cumming came along and did that weird.
Well,
anyway, yeah, that's American Hustle.
It's interesting, isn't it? Films that just don't hold up. Do you think American Hustle will date?
It doesn't really do. It's one of those films that doesn't really do enough to actually have a. It's not solid enough. You watch it and it's almost like a trick of what's actually happened there. Does anything happen in it? You walk out of the cinema thinking, does anything really happen there? Was there really. Have I missed something? Did I not? Maybe it's me who didn't understand it properly. Maybe it is me who didn't understand it. But please, why not? Tell us what you think. Write in. And how can people write in?
You can write in by emailing us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you're lazy, go on our Facebook page, /filmfandango. Or if you're ill, go on Twitter, @filmfandango.
And also you can follow us on Twitter, @MrDavidReed.
Yes, and @MaritLarwood.
Yes. Or at...
Turligod.
TURLYGOD.
And that, for 5 points, Mary Cloud, is a quote from which Shakespeare tragedy?
I know.
It must be one I haven't read. Henry the...
That's his.
Lesbian. Henry the Lesbian.
Part two.
It's not one. It's not. It doesn't start with Henry.
No. Those are the histories.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It'll be Macbeth.
No!
King it's not
Lear.
Hamlet.
It's King Lear.
King I'm not Lear. Read King Lear. Well, make sure you read King Lear and watch American Hustle.
For next week.
Yeah.
Class. Right, we asked Tom to pick a film to talk about, and he picked one that neither of us have ever heard of, and I'm quite pleased he did. What film was it, Thomas?
It's called The Gods Must Be Crazy.
And can, for the uninitiated, you explain briefly what the synopsis is of this movie?
It is a sort of faux documentary to start with, in a way, with a sort of really sort of camp, stiff upper lipped British guy who says things like, he spoke long and earnestly with the baboon, and he spoke long and earnestly until the baboon began to pay attention.
It's like it's almost like a kids' TV show kind of thing at the beginning.
It's sort of a comic strip movie set in the Kalahari Desert. About a bushman and a nascent couple.
And one day, basically, this is a bush tribe who's never met any other people, basically, and they, you know, live very simple, idyllic lifestyle out in the bush. And one day, a guy flying an aeroplane throws a Coke bottle out the window and it lands in their village.
Pop ex machina!
Yep.
And they use it as a tool. And then they decide it's evil because they've only got one of it. It's the first time they've been introduced to scarcity, and
which creates jealousy and competition. And
so one of the bushmen decides to take it to the edge of the earth and throw it off.
And so goes on an adventure to throw away a Coke bottle.
There's a Benny Hill Civil War,
which the darkest sort of light film I've ever seen.
There's so much death.
There's child kidnap.
But it's still not. Every now and again, when you go to cinema quite a lot and see things, and you realise I bang on this quite a lot, how much of strict structure there is to like American films when you see in the cinema. It was so refreshing. I'm not seeing anything like this. It was made in 1980.
Yes.
If you saw us on TV, you'd think, and it was made, it's a South African film, so it's redubbed.
Yes.
Which is amazing. So it's dubbed over with English voices. It feels like.
I thought it was just the accents.
Was it?
I thought it was just her accent. Yes. Or maybe so thick they redubbed it for American audience, and it's the American redub version of her voice that we.
Yes, that's right.
But it feels like it was made in 1960. You would never think.
Yeah. I think it was made a bit earlier than 1980. I think it wasn't released in America until 1980.
Did you see that thing on, just reading about it online, because I haven't seen it since I was a kid, because I used to live in Africa, and then I think I watched it shortly after we left, or maybe when we were there.
Right.
which is why I picked it, because it's very much a film. Like, I have flashes of like watching it when you know when the Land Rover goes up into the tree.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whoa, that's a memory flashback. Yeah. That is, whoa. I've seen this a lot of times, but from 1980, there was one cinema in Hollywood that showed it every week until the film caught fire because it was so thin.
Wow.
Yeah. It held a world record for that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Being shown like in 20 shown years. In California for the longest
time. I can't 20 believe years I've never heard of it.
No, neither have I.
I loved it.
So I did really I. I've never seen a film with so much sped up footage in it.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's comical.
The film would have been so long.
Yeah, it would be.
the assassinations right at the start, where they managed to kill four cabinet ministers, yes. These rebels.
We should explain a subplot is. Meanwhile, there's a sort of, you know, the rebels are trying to overthrow
the government in and there. The nasty men with guns, and they incompetently storm the Capitol building and kill four cabinet ministers and run away.
With machine guns sped up to make it like, not nearly as bad. But you just gunned like six people die.
I've never seen Cameron like it. And the film still holds up, even though it feels like it's filmed. And you talked about the Benny Hill before. It's filmed by what looks like rank amateurs at some point.
Yeah. So
there's really odd movements to the camera. There's zoom-ins and zoom-outs.
I reckon it's just the only camera they could get. Mm. And I also reckon it's a very, very noisy camera, and all the dialogue, even the original Afrikaans, they just didn't bother recording sound on location.
Yeah.
Same as, because it's a lot cheaper if you do that. Because, El Mariachi's done that.
Also, it's quicker because you don't have to wait for those birds to shut up or the plane to stop going overhead or whatever.
Yeah. And so for that reason, there's a lot of like dodgy lip sync.
But that becomes a stylistic thing after the first 10 minutes.
But then a lot of music as well, because a lot of it is silent.
Yeah.
This podcast is all dubbed over with different people. Mm. You may think you're listening to our voices, but these are actors brought in to pretend to be us.
I'm Timothy Spall. It's incredible. I think it's quite like actually old black and white films like Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
It feels like that sort. It's a slapstick movie. Mm. Basically, the whole film is slapstick.
But the main actor, who's the main, so you've got the tribesman, and he goes off to get rid of his coke bottle. You've got the attempted coup taking place.
And then you've got a school teacher who arrives.
A school teacher who's worked in the Western world, isn't like it, moved to become a teacher, and she falls in love with a guy who's doing experiment on elephant shit or something.
Who are perfect. Yeah, he's
collecting data for his doctoral thesis.
That's right.
He's really brilliant.
He's great, isn't he?
And some of the slapstick set pieces.
When he comes to bring her shoes back.
Well, and the whole car thing with the car.
Yeah,
and he must have done. And realised that back then
the stunts are
amazing. He must have done his own stunts.
Yeah.
And this bit with the was probably really, really dangerous, but it's so well thought out. And I thought the storyline, the actual, was really beautiful at times, beautifully told, and it feels like it's thought through properly. So despite the bad camera work, despite the fact it looks dated, that adds to its charm as well, and it's sped up, the story itself is rock solid.
Yeah. And they never sort of abandon the story because they're having too much fun being stupid. You know, they stick with it, but whilst remaining stupid at all times. Like, no, it's really, really good.
And I love the his assistant.
Yes.
The mechanic guy.
Yeah.
He's just hilarious. They might have to... little bugger.
you said it was reminded, it was maybe led to Crocodile Dundee. He's got a feel of that about it.
It do, well, this is long before... Well, Crocodile Dundee's sort of 80...
86,
maybe. But it's got that feel to it, hasn't it? The culture clash.
I'm going to guess 83 for Crocodile Dundee, anyway. Mm.
86, I was right.
The sort of trackers and bushmen getting one over on the city folk as well is in there as well.
And just the title, the gods must be crazy, is probably because it's not like racist, but it is a little bit patronising, and that's probably the most patronising thing about it is the title.
Yes. Don't be put off when you look on Netflix or you see the cover. And you see someone holding a Coke bottle and it looks like it's some wacky, odd film.
Looks like a Wayans Brothers film.
Yes,
or something.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought this is going to be awful. And I watched the first 10, 15 minutes and I called my girlfriend in and said, you've got to watch this film. I've not seen anything like it. It's really refreshing. And that, you know, Crocodile Dundee, I think that's a good way of talking about the hope and the...
Yeah.
It feels fresh.
It's got a different perspective to the American one, which is what is refreshing about the character of Crocodile Dundee in that he isn't a cowboy like all American heroes in all American films are, where, you know, they live in a lawless society and if you can shoot a man and get away with it, if he was bad, that's a good thing. Mm. That isn't what Crocodile Dundee believes. And this is similar. The heroes have completely different values. It's weirdly refreshing to watch a different story, you know, where he is heroic, but he doesn't have to be a total badass all the time.
Yeah, the bit where he dresses up and sneaks in, so funny.
Don't give any spoilers.
Yeah,
away.
Yeah.
Doesn't really spoil it.
He's 33 years old. I felt really refreshed by this film.
I recommend it because I'm sure I'm going to remember bits. The key bit that I remember is like, that's not in there. Oh, might have been the second one. So then immediately watched the second one this afternoon.
Now, there's one official sequel.
There's one official sequel by the guy who wrote
The Gods Must Be Crazy 2. And then three unofficial.
And I haven't seen any of them. I've never heard of them.
How are they unofficial sequels? Same actor, is it?
Same actor.
Right.
But not the guy who wrote, produced, directed and edited.
Okay, so
who plays the minister at the start?
Yes, he does. The director plays the reverend. Okay.
So it's not official because it's not sanctioned by, written by him or sanctioned by him.
Right.
But they're like, the gods must be in China. Was the fifth one, I think.
It gets a bit.
I don't know. They might be
Police
really good.
Academy.
They might be really good.
Yeah.
But this was a massive box office hit throughout worldwide.
Yeah.
And it has got that appeal. You go and watch it with kids. It's got slapstick.
That's what I think. I enjoyed it so much as a kid. And I don't have children, so if you have children, make them watch it because they'll bloody love it.
And the slapstick is really great.
Yeah,
it's
set in such a dark world, and yet is so light-hearted and heartwarming at the same time.
Yeah.
But the second one, the scene I remembered was a little kid getting stuck in a water tank.
Right.
Oh, no.
So that was like, I've got to see this scene, so I had to watch Godfrey.
Does he die?
He does not die. The second film is basically Finding Nemo and Wacky Races and, like, another road movie. And then they all sort of come together.
I love sped-up film Wacky Races style stuff, like Death Race 2000 has loads of it in it.
The stunts in the second one are even better. It's a different couple.
Does it feel as old as the first one?
It's 9 years later.
But is it the same sort of style and shot the same way?
It is. Yeah, it was the same guy. The budget's slightly better. Like he's got a sort of knock off Tom Selleck as the leading man. He's really, really good, and he's able to pull off the it's not quite slapstick he doesn't do, but he's able to pull off the kind of stunts and stuff. It's just magic.
I'm trying to think of anyone who does this sort of movie, as we said, like, you know, Chaplin-esque thing of the stunts are the star, and Jackie Chan is the only one I can think of, but he's sort of winding up now, isn't he?
But this was...
all kung fu movies now.
They are just some almost like Mr. Bean things, are all wholly stunt movies. This is like a character trait, as well as the story. The story is really engrossing and totally original.
Mm.
You don't know what's going to happen. It's incredible. I really recommend. I can't believe I've not heard of this film before.
Well, yeah. When I said I was going, I've tweeted. I'm going to this. The only person who retweeted it, Pierre Novelli. He's South African.
Yeah.
So presumably it isn't widely known.
I can't remember it ever being shown on TV over here.
I can't remember where I saw it. I think I saw it in Bangladesh, but I might have seen it when I was living in Zimbabwe. But if it was from Bangladesh, we I think it must have been from the British High Commission video library, which is where we used to get.
I'm just imagining you breaking into it. The only place you can get videos from was there.
No, you can go to Video Connection as well. But that was all pirates, pirated videos that you could rent.
How long did you live abroad for then?
Until I was like 15 and a half.
Where did you live?
In order, Sri Lanka, Denmark, Egypt, Malawi, Zimbabwe, the Philippines and Bangladesh.
And your dad was a pirate, right?
Civil engineer.
Okay. What do civil engineers do?
Well, he did water infrastructure projects, so like how thick a pipe needs to be for this fresh water supply, or
he's a plumber.
He would never actually do any of it.
Oh, of course.
He would just do all the, you know, the maths, the engineering.
The dry work, as they call it.
Yes.
In the plumbing industry.
He started in working in London in the sewers as his first job, but he hasn't worked in this country since the 70s.
Why did he not?
Well, because all of his experience was abroad.
Because he absolutely stank. He had to work. He had to work abroad for 20 years until the shit smelled.
A rich London businessman found him in the sewers and trained him up from a boy.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to insult your dad like that.
He's never going to listen to this.
he's one of a very few people that that's true of.
He doesn't listen to podcasts. He's got a little Google Nexus, but he doesn't have podcasts.
Okay. Oh, one day. You never know. You never know, do you?
One day. Well, yeah, thank you for bringing it in.
Not at all.
And for everyone who is now intrigued, that name again is The Gods Must Be Crazy, and it is on Netflix. I'm sure it's elsewhere. Go find it.
He spoke long and earnestly until the baboon began to pay attention.
This is the best film I've seen so far this year, and I include some Oscar nominees in that.
Victory. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We're only about 20 days in, so 16 days in.
Yeah. 17. Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you for coming on.
Not at all.
Are you doing anything you want to plug?
Oh God, no.
Great.
No, I'm doing new material on the 29th in Hackney Wick.
29th of January.
Yes.
Hackney Wick. All right.
It's called Laugh! Exclamation mark.
Laugh. All right. We'll be back next week with more movies. We're going to talk about some more of those Oscar nominations and probably chat about 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, keep watching the films. And also, if you want to donate to help this podcast running, I think we're just above the red zone.
We've just entered solvency. Is that what you're saying?
You can go to our website and it just pays for the cost of putting the podcast online and helping us go and buy cinema tickets.
Yeah, that's filmfandango.co.uk.
And thank you very much to people who have donated in the past. We really appreciate it.
You are heroes. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films. Bye. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.